Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the radio broadcast today. Let me just start off with a couple of things. First of all, welcome to the opening broadcast for this week. I hope that you had a wonderful Lord's Day. Of course, Tuesday is the first day that I'm back in the studio, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for this broadcast. So I'd like to just mention and welcome you back from the Lord's Day on this past Sunday. I hope you had a wonderful time together with the people of God. And I'd like to do that because of the importance of the church. You know, the church is extremely important. And I feel the need to stress that in our modern day and age because just sometimes we hear so much about the unimportance of the church and that it's not very necessary. In fact, just recently, there was a survey that was conducted by Lifeway Ministries along with Ligonier Ministries, and they conducted a really exhaustive survey asking people a number of different questions related to both theology, the study of God proper. So what did they think about God? And that was interesting. We'll talk about that at some point on the radio broadcast as to how they responded. But the idea about the persons of the Trinity were involved in that. And what came up very disturbing in some of the answers there were that many of the people have very faulty views of the second person of the Trinity, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and about his deity and so forth. And then also they had very faulty views of the Holy Spirit of God as well. Overwhelming numbers had spoken of the Holy Spirit, both those in and outside the church, had spoken of the Holy Spirit as being a force rather than an actual person. So the one part was on theology. The other part was on anthropology. And anthropology, of course, deals with the idea of man and man in his condition before God and so forth. And there were disturbing things that were said there. There was a great misunderstanding about sin. There was a great misunderstanding about, you know, the actual constitution of man and his position before God and so forth. There was a tremendous amount of information about soteriology that came out, how a person is saved. And basically people felt that the man was good in and of himself. And although he sins at certain points in his life, nevertheless, he is essentially good. And God will honor that essential goodness that he has and accept him into his heaven if his good outweighs his bad. So you can see that's extremely problematic as it relates to the gospel message. And then the final one that it spoke about was about ecclesiology. Ecclesiology, of course, is issues related to the church. And people had a very low view of the church, you know, that basically you could sit in Starbucks or whatever and have a conversation about the things of God. And that was just as valid as going to church. And it's not. And the Bible says it's not. You know, wherever two or three are gathered together, and I am there in the midst, the Lord was saying. And he has ordained the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as the meeting place of the people of God, the corporate worship of God's people. And the gifts are expressed there in the church and so forth. So that's why it's a long way around the barn, but I wanted to tell you those are some of the reasons why I like to ask you, you know, and remind you about what you heard on Sunday. Hopefully you heard the gospel expounded or you learned some aspect about the person and work of Christ and so forth in your church that you attended this past week. And I hope that that was a real blessing to you. We talked about, we've been still in Hebrews chapter 12. And we've been looking at the difference between the two mountains that are mentioned there, Sinai and Zion. Sinai representing the physical expression of the law as the law was given in Exodus chapter 20. Zion representing the spiritual, gospel, grace-related themes that we find in the New Testament scripture. And so I've been talking about a contrast and a comparison between those two things on Sunday morning. So this week we took a little walk around Zion as it's pictured to us in Psalm 48, and we looked at some of the features of Zion that are there this past Lord's Day. I can't go into it now, but that's where we were and just enjoyed seeing the benefits and the blessings that have been secured for us by the person and work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, on the broadcast today, I want to talk about a couple of issues. One, I want to start with looking at the idea of creation again. There's a presentation coming up this Thursday, and in this Thursday's presentation, we're going to, the Creation Study Group, meets at the Second Presbyterian Church in downtown Greenville. Their meeting is going to be held again this Thursday night, November 20th, and they'll be meeting there in order to talk about another aspect of creation. And this time, they're going to be looking at the five common deceptions in our culture regarding God, the Bible, science, and creation. And the presentation is going to be pretty instructive to the people that are going to be there. The speaker this time is going to be, I can barely make it out on my screen here, but Mariani, yeah, Gary just told me. But it's kind of, the image on my screen is not as clear as I wanted it to be. So I asked Brian to come on the broadcast today to give us a little bit of a sneak preview as to what he's going to be discussing at that event. Brian, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bowling. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Brian, I didn't mention, but you're part of what's called the Discovery Creation Training Institute. Tell us a little bit about that institute. What actually is it, and how do people attend that? Give us a little bit of insight about the institute itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Our organization is actually Alpha Omega Institute out of Grand Junction, Colorado, and it was founded by Dave and Mary Jo Nutting 30 years ago. We're in the 30th year of the ministry. And me and my wife were actually the young blood on staff, just came on a few years ago. And but our ministry teaches creation science. It gives people the basis to believe the Bible and show that they really can trust the Bible. And so we've been going out to churches and groups all over the country, actually all over the world, teaching that you can trust the Bible. Mm. And the Discover Creation Training Institute, that's a new program we're starting next August, like a one-year Bible college, but more focused in creation science, in worldviews and apologetics, and in the Bible as well. And so really our goal is to equip and train people to be able to better share and defend their faith, as I've struggled personally with being able to do that, but to really give people answers and a foundation for their life, that they really can trust the Bible, they can trust God at His Word.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Let me ask you, where is the Training Institute located?
It is in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. And so the facility there where people will travel to Grand Junction and then stay there for a year and go through this one-year Bible program?
Absolutely, yes. And we'll have housing for students there and classes there on site. But we're actually planning on, I believe we have four field trips right now planned on the schedule to Mount St. Helens, to Yellowstone and to the Grand Canyon and other places there in Colorado and Utah where you see great geology. And even field trip, we have a combined field trip and mission study, mission trip to Costa Rica for 3 weeks. And so that, we're going to be mostly in Grand Junction, but also being able to go out and see God's creation and learn about it firsthand in those places.
Oh, very interesting. Let me ask you, or let me mention to you, that I had an opportunity to go there to the Grand Canyon with Answers in Genesis, and we did 200 miles there of the Colorado River on a raft, and they kept pulling over during the trip and then giving classes right on the side of the Colorado River right there in the Grand Canyon, and talking about the strata that we were looking at and fossils and just all sorts of great information, you know, obviously related to the flood itself, the worldwide catastrophic flood that created that canyon, but also, you know, likening it to Genesis account of creation as well. And it was, for me, just, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime highlight type of trip. It was just excellent. So I highly recommend that type of training. Is very, very helpful, where you can actually see it for yourself and literally put your hands on what is being discussed. So that was very, very interesting. How many students are you anticipating then will be there at one time or for over that year of study?
We're planning for about 20 to 30 students, and we expect probably in the early stages here in the first few years less, but looking to get a smaller community-focused group where we are building community with this almost kind of family-oriented atmosphere and really being able to disciple and mentor those students, probably specifically of college age, but also those of any age as well are absolutely welcome. But to really train the youth, to really disciple them, as I feel like I was never truly adequately mentored and discipled growing up, I think that's something missing in our culture. And so that's that's also part of our program that we are looking to be able to incorporate.
Brian, what is your specific role then with AOI? What are you doing, and will that role switch once the school is actually underway?
Well, I've been doing a lot of research on the aspects of creation and evolution, and actually trying to write a book comparing creation and evolution and showing, as I've found these different topics, that there's a lot of things that evolutionists, you know, people that believe in millions and billions of years, they can't adequately explain things from a naturalistic perspective. And I think creation gives, the Bible gives, a better understanding of those things. And so I've been doing a lot of research. I've been doing some speaking, and this is really our first long ministry road trip as we've been going across country teaching creation, connecting with creation groups, and promoting this new training program. But our focus is specifically for this training program. I'll be doing and have been doing a lot of the background paperwork and all the things needed to get this program up and going, and will be influential as a teacher at that training institute as well. And so, and my coworkers, my bosses, tell me that our contract says we have other duties as assigned, and so we're finding out what those are.
There's always
been fun. It's been good.
Yeah, there's always that line in the job description, you know, and other duties as assigned, you know. That's pretty broad. Let me ask you this Thursday, when you come to Greenville here to speak, the title is going to be The Five Common Deceptions in Our Culture. Let's talk about those five deceptions briefly here, if we could. What are the five deceptions that you're focusing on? And then maybe after you list them, then we can go back and look at a couple of them in a little bit more detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And I picked these five deceptions because from my perspective, from my experience and my testimony even, I've seen how common these deceptions are in our culture, especially even in secular universities, but really anywhere as well, in any environment, Hollywood, everything. And obviously there's more than just five deceptions, but these relate specifically with the Bible and science, creation and evolution. So deception number one, the Bible is not completely reliable. Now, these are, I don't believe these things are true. These are deceptions. So one is the Bible is not completely reliable. Evolution is proven science, and creation is religious belief. Number three, science has proven evolution in old Earth. Number four, the definition of science cannot allow for God. And number five, evolution and the Bible are compatible.
Hmm. Yeah, we can certainly hear in those the listing of those. I can think of a number of aspects under each one of them that we see that developed or fleshed out in news headlines and things that we read and hear about taking place in our culture. That first one about the reliability of God's Word, well, the reliability of God's Word is we could see that come true even today as we just look around and see what we experience on a daily basis. It speaks volumes about the reliability of what God's Word has to say about our environment, about ourselves, about God Himself, and so forth. We can see that on a daily basis. What will you be pointing to under that heading?
Well, I just think it's so amazing that people claim that, because if you look at the history of it, the manuscripts that confirm, the large amounts of manuscripts, I should say, that confirm the truth of the Bible, if you throw out the Bible saying there's not enough evidence that it's historical and reliable, you have to throw out pretty much all ancient writings that are out there. Mm. And so I think it's very well documented. It's very well, I mean, it's written as history. It gets kind of boring to read some of those names that you find in the Old Testament, but I think they're there for a purpose to show that these are really reliable records, written as history.
Mm-hmm. And better men have tried and better men have died with this whole concept of trying to do away with the Bible and just trying to say that it's irrelevant and it can't be trusted and so forth. That's been taking place since the Garden of Eden, where, Satan said right in the beginning, "Hath God really said?" And ever since that moment onward, people have been constantly trying to say that, "Hath God really said?" And over and over and over and over again, the Bible has been proven to be true. And those that have said that it'll never last and that it'll, it'll be gone in 100 years and so forth, they're gone and the Bible remains. God's Word continues to remain. So we just don't see that at all. If I could sum up a couple of the other ones just because of our time, most of them deal then with the idea of the Bible and science, or evolution as science. What we're kind of dealing with is a little bit of a pseudoscience that's associated with evolution, right? And more of a true science that is being promoted by the scriptures. You know, that we look at things, we observe things, and we talk about the reality of certain things and so forth. But evolution seems to go off into some sort of a pseudoscience where they're not holding fast and true to what is actually revealed to us, what we have as data. That's a little confusing, but go ahead, you straighten it out for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I struggle oftentimes using the word prove or proven or proof of something, because oftentimes, you know, you've got a lot of evidence that builds up to prove your point, or to prove evolution, let's say in this case, and people say there's a lot of evidence that proves evolution, but how do we actually prove anything anyways? We still have to have faith. Even if we have a lot of evidence built up on our side, we have to have faith that evidence, and notice the word faith as well, we have to have faith that evidence is really true, is really, you know, interpreted correctly. And interpretation, again, is another key aspect here. And so you have to assume that scientists have done the research correctly, their instruments were working correctly, all these different things, it's kind of preposterous to say that you don't live by faith, because everybody ultimately lives by faith. And that's not to say we can't do science, but we all have a starting point. We all have a way of looking at the evidence, and oftentimes you can have different ways of looking at one specific, you know, tool or something in the terms of archaeology. If you find a tool, there's different ways of looking at that. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a quote I have that one archaeologist says, secular archaeologist admits this, that if you have three archaeologists in a room together, you might come out with five different opinions on the matter. Mm. And that's kind of the issue. And oftentimes I think people tend to stick to what they want to see rather than what the evidence does lead to. And I think a lot of naturalists and evolutionists would be surprised at how much their evidence there is for creation, or at least they're trying to ignore it as much as they can.
Mm-hmm. And that speaks against, and what I was trying to articulate is when I say pseudosciences, the evolutionists were a lot of times positioned themselves as people that are just looking at the facts. They're just looking at the evidence, and they're not building into it any presuppositions or any religious beliefs or any of those types of things. They're just letting the facts speak for themselves. But the fact is that you're saying they don't do that, that they bring their own presuppositions, they bring their own belief system to the evidence, and we're both looking at the same evidence, but they're coming out with a different conclusion. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. I think, unfortunately, we've been so ingrained with this idea of evolution that when we see something that goes counter to evolution or that is challenging to it, we still try to, or these scientists oftentimes will still try to interpret what they're seeing still in terms of evolution. Well, okay, now maybe there's something else. And oftentimes, from what I've studied, their evidence is their theories, explanations for things are not very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to just take them on their word. It just is startling to me how they throw around millions and billions of years at different times, you know. And when we did watch television, I don't have one now, but when we did, and it would come up, and my grandson or somebody would hear them use that term, you know, well, we found this jawbone and we believe it's from X number of millions of years, we would, a lot of times, we would openly laugh and just say, you know, well, boy, that was quite a statement there. They can't tell me, you know, what happened in or what the weather's going to be in the next couple of days with any sense of certainty. But yet they can throw around, you know, millions and billions of years like it's absolute fact that this is what had taken place. Brian, looking forward to your presentation on Thursday. I want to leave enough time to give the listening audience the particular information about the meeting. But thank you so much for joining us, and safe travels to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being on the show. Thanks, Pastor Bowling.
You're welcome. Again, that was Brian Mariani. And Brian is with Alpha and Omega Institute. And they're going to be doing a presentation the Discover Creation Training Institute that they're launching, as he was talking about. It's going to be there in Grand Junction, Colorado. And Brian is going to be in our area right here in the upstate of South Carolina this Thursday night, November 20th. And he'll be speaking down at Second Presbyterian Church, and that's found at 105 River Street in Greenville, right there in the heart of downtown Greenville. And this is going to be part of the Creation Study Group presentation. So you can go out to their website at creationstudygroup.org, and out there you can find out information about the meeting. But as I mentioned, Thursday night, November 20th, this Thursday night, they'll be down there talking about these issues like, why is creation important? Why do we believe God and the Bible? And what can you do about spreading the knowledge of creation and talking about these issues? He's going to be talking about the five common deceptions in detail in our culture today. You don't want to miss it. Check it out on the website.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.